And I've seen a few signs around. I've seen some things in the paper. Some businesses even make known their appreciation and their stand on the person of the Lord Jesus. I do appreciate that so much. But that's the way of the world. And when you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, He came into the world, the one that created the world, the one that created mankind. And we're going to look at a passage in just a moment that reminds us that He took upon Himself, became in fashion as a man, the very thing that He created that was to glorify God but fell, He became one of those. He became a man. Now there was a God-man on earth. God was here dwelling among mankind. Man's sin and the need of man touched the heart of God so deeply that He reached out and touched and accomplished something for mankind that no one else could possibly have remedied. You hear a lot of verses being quoted from Scripture, and it seems that it's been a fairly good time for people that are merchants that are in the malls. I heard a report today that in many places they're pleased. So you've been out shopping and you've been getting all those good buys and those bargains. And I remember Ruby used to buy paper and wrapping and all that kind of stuff at this time of the year, right after Christmas, for next year. So you have to be alert, and it's just a wise thing to do. First passage of Scripture that comes to my mind, since we're still in that spirit of Christmas. Well, I'll say this. Be thinking about making some resolutions. Some people object to this. Well, if you can't resolve to do something different, you're in trouble. So look, I make a long list. Don't you know I know I'm not going to keep all of them. But I keep some of them. That's the key. You may make 10, and you only keep one. But rejoice. I've made some improvement. It is good. Keep your mind and heart open. I can do better. So often people make that, they say, well, I've done the best I could. Oh, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. We could all do better. You could be better in your resolve to read and study and meditate upon the Word of God. Spend time in prayer and fellowship. You have to know there's a difference by letting your heart get cold and you're unresponsive to the things of God, and you get a revival in your heart and mind and you're drawn back. It's called getting out of fellowship. Some people call it backsliding. But you're not in fellowship and communion with God. That happens to all of us. We must resolve. We must determine. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Now, as we look at this passage tonight, and it's found in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, just think about it, this man that was so accepted among the one religious system in the world that acknowledged the true and the living God. He knew God as creator of all things. He knew God as the one that had worked through his people, as they're called, the Jewish people. He had seen what he had done, and he had missed seeing what happened when God became a man. He wasn't in the same spirit as Herod, but he was pretty determined that he wasn't going to let this person, Jesus Christ, upset the religious world as he knew it, as someone that practiced the religion of the Jews. He wasn't going to let that happen. You've read the account. You know what he did. He went after Christians, hunted them down, and persecuted them. Remember, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He had a determined mind that he was going to do everything he could to try to make it miserable for those that took to this person, Jesus Christ. But thank God, God could reach a man like that. He reached him. And he used him mightily. And it was because he had a resolve in his heart after he became a Christian. He resolved that he was going to be all and all for Jesus. Have you ever said, "For me to live is Christ"? You ever said that? You're a Christian. You belong to him. Have you ever said, "For me to live, my life is dominated, ruled over, and controlled by the person of Jesus Christ"? That's what the Apostle Paul did. He determined that Jesus Christ, the risen, glorified Lord, would be the head of his life. He will direct and control by his Spirit all that I do. Not many people have done that. I think there are more than probably we are aware of, but he's in the book. He's given to us. There were others filled with the Spirit of God, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. I'm his slave. I don't have a mindset of my own. I'm owned by him. I was purchased at a great price, and I'm not going to forget it. And I'm going to live for him and serve him as best I can. Well, that's just a little thought that each one of us should consider. We're coming up at a new year, and a lot of people will make New Year's resolutions. I make some every year. I don't let it go by. This is an opportunity for me in this life of mine to do something better than I've been doing it. Of course, some of you are perfect. You don't think you need any change. Shame on you. You just don't know what's in that little old heart of yours. After all that Gibby has given you about that heart, who knows it? Who can know it? Oh, how deceitful it is. We think we are so spiritual sometimes. We think we're so, "I'm really doing the right thing. I'm honoring the Lord in my life." And hopefully you are, and I am. But we could do better. We could do better. I think the Apostle Paul, he had a mind that was determined that Not only was he going to be a bond slave, he knew that perhaps others would not be of the same mind, and he did not try to press them into that mold and say, I've done this and I want you to do it too. No, we're not all alike. Some of you are more spiritual than others. You delight in spiritual things more than others. People are like that. You've known people like that. And it's encouraging to meet someone that has a mindset for me to live as Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, he loved them. They were beloved. He refers to them, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to read some of these verses in the second chapter and then make some comments. It addresses a problem, a real problem. The two sisters that we're acquainted with, they're known as Euodias and Syntyche, and they're sisters in the Lord. They're not blood sisters, they're sisters in the Lord. And they had labored with the Apostle Paul in Philippi. And they were devoted workers. They had done a good job. But as it sometimes happened, they had a falling out. We don't know. I don't know what the problem was. Well, I know what the problem was. The flesh, carnality. They were not of the same mind. And we're going to read about that. Let this mind be in you. Have the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do nothing but that which would glorify God. There wouldn't be any problems among the Lord's people today if everyone wanted to do what he did for the glory of God. Wouldn't be any problems. But that doesn't happen. Sometimes relationships, they're so fragile, they can be broken by someone just looking wrong or saying something that's wrong. I don't get along anymore. I don't fellowship with that person anymore and so forth. Let's read these first 10, 12 verses of chapter 2 in Philippians, and then I'll make some comments. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and that word consolation can be translated encouragement, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Boy, if that is not a challenging statement. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What a passage. Our Father in heaven, we just pray tonight as we gather here, and we've gathered in the name and to the person of our Lord Jesus. It's a time in the course of a year that mankind turns toward a special day. That day, unbeknown to many because they don't even give any thought to it, is that day when God laid aside His glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, condescending to become one of us, mankind, and dwell here upon the face of the earth. He came unto His own people, but they rejected Him. They declared, we won't have Him to rule over us. But Lord, it's known in heavenly circles. And certainly you are fully aware, Lord Jesus, that there are many today that refuse to allow you to have anything to do with their lives. They don't know, Lord, that you love them. They don't know that you died upon a cross, put to an open shame for their sin. Lord, the God of this world has done a masterful job in blinding the minds of those who will not believe that glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. They just don't know, Lord. They are ignorant. And it's the spirit of the day in which we live. We will not have this man to rule over us. We're going to have our own way. We're going to do our own thing. God have mercy. Help us. Help us, Lord, as we seek your guidance and help for praying about those that we know that are still outside of Christ. We have some in our families. They need you, Lord. They need you, Lord Jesus. Help us to do everything we can to bring about a change of attitude of heart and come and trust our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank Thee for what Paul has brought before us. These two dear sisters in the Lord that had labored together, they had indeed been of great value to Paul in the establishment of the assembly and the work in Philippi, but now they were not in fellowship with each other. These things have been written to help heal that and to set our minds right about how we should think and how we should seek by the grace of God to have that mindset that comes right from the heart of God to us to be like the Lord Jesus in our thinking, in our actions. So, Lord, give liberty and grant, we pray Thee, that we'll go away benefiting from having read this passage in Philippians this night. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as I said, if there's anything that can be done to heal some of the problems that exist among the Lord's people, I think we have set before us some good suggestions. It's recorded in the Word of God. Live as a Christian ought to live. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. We read that in the Second Corinthians. If there's any such thing as one believer being able to rectify a problem that exists between them and another Christian, help them by the grace of God to do what they can. You're given a gift, I believe. Every one of us is in some way gifted of God, and we can use that gift to glorify God. That's the only reason we have it, is to glorify God and to benefit our fellow believer. But we can bring some cheer into the heart, and we can lift up a spirit that has been beaten down by this world and all the things that are in this world. Paul wants to encourage these believers at Philippi. He wants to provide something that they need that they don't have. At least two people there, we know. And if there were two like that, I bet, I'm not betting, I would grant you that there were a lot more there like that. And it exists today. That's the reason why we even look at and examine. He could say to the Philippians, do you love me enough? Do you respect me enough to respond to what I'm requesting you to do? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to bring about some healing. I'm seeking to bring to you some cheer for your heart in that someone that is out of fellowship with God. You know, when you're out of fellowship with your fellow believer, more than likely, and I think most surely, you're out of fellowship with God, because that's not well-pleasing to the Lord. God never approves of nor brings blessing where there's that kind of attitude in the heart of a believer. We may shun it off. We may say, I was done wrong. We always justify ourselves. And I guarantee you, Euodia and Syntyche, if you had drawn aside with either one of them, it was her fault, not mine. It's because of what she did. Each one of them would have said the same thing. That's the way we are. It wasn't my fault. And they got to come to me and they got to get down on their knees. That's just the way we are. And Paul knew all about that. He could also say, doesn't it mean anything to you to maintain fellowship with one another the same way that God wants you to maintain fellowship with Him? God wants our fellowship. God wants our hearts. That's the ministry Gideon has been bringing about that heart, and drawing that heart out to God is so essential. God wants to not know us better, but He wants us to know Him better. Get to know the Lord. You say, I'm a Christian. I know God's wonderful love and grace, and I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven, and He has truly blessed me. Well, is that all you know? What do you do when you get out of tune with God? What do you do when something comes up in your life? David had some things come up in his life, and he said he lost that joy of God's salvation. And he wanted it restored. He wanted to set things right. And Paul wants things set right. And he's making a strong appeal. He could say, in a sense, isn't it strange? We have trusted the same Savior. Yeah. Christ is in me, and I'm in Him. You possess the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yes, He's in me, and He's in my whoever that is that you're having a little problem with. Both of you have the same Savior, the same Spirit dwelling in you, and yet you're at odds with each other. And you're dishonoring the Lord. Isn't that strange that it works that way? You say it's disgusting. It's disgusting for someone to behave in that fashion. Let's just be sure we don't act in that fashion. Let's just be sure that we're not guilty of that. Holding grudges in our hearts. Doing things that are certainly not the mind of the Lord. Hearts ought to be tender. And they ought to be sympathetic toward each other. Later on in this passage where we've just read, putting the other person before yourself. Having a high opinion of that person because they belong to the Lord. And they have Jesus Christ in their heart and soul. And the Spirit of God is filling them if He is indeed in control of their lives. Oh, there's so much to be thankful for. Paul could say, look, you want to cheer me up, you want to make me happy and rejoice in the Lord, get right with God. No messing around about it. Come on, let's have a meeting of the minds. Let's get out on our knees and do some praying. Let's resolve this pettiness that is so dishonoring to the Lord. I don't think he was saying it like I'm saying it, but that's the spirit that I sense was in the hearts of these two sisters. Something that, you know, if we found out what it was they were falling out about, said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let something like that break fellowship between you and your brother or your sister in the Lord. And that ought to be done from time to time. You know, there was a time back when churches that some of them were small, but they were made up of people, not people of great prominence and wealth. It seemed like they were the kind that would get together. And there would be a bonding. There was a bit reestablishing communion and fellowship with each other. They claimed to be in tune with the Lord. But as I said before, I don't believe you can be out of tune with God's people and be in tune with God. It don't work that way. They had lost the joy of God's great salvation. Paul says, you want to fulfill my joy? Well, make me happy. You want to do something for me? Make me happy. Do something that's going to cause me to rejoice. I'd like to hear of you agreeing wholeheartedly. All of these barriers have been broken down. Think of each other more highly than you would of yourself. Working together with one heart and mind. Don't be selfish. Selfish. Self is enthroned. And I want my way. I want to do it the way I want to do it. That ain't nothing but just pure stinking carnality. That's all it is. The flesh is just rearing up and said, look, I'm going to control your life. The Spirit of God must be so grieved when something like that happens in a believer's life. I'm going to do it my way. But you're grieving the Lord. You're not doing it for the glory of God. And what you're doing is so far out of tune with the mind from the ways of God. Don't be so selfish. Don't just live to make a good impression on other people. You know, people can be so different. You describe some person and what they're like, and you thought, that sure don't sound like that person I know. I work with that person. Man, he talks about them like they were saints. Where I work, they are known in a different manner altogether. Outward impressions sometimes are not very true to what that person is really like. I don't know if these two sisters had divided the whole assembly at Philippi or not. But they could have been having an impact. You let something happen within a fellowship of God's people. There's a difference of opinion about the interpretation of Scripture. People take sides. One says, oh, this is what I believe. The other says, oh, no, this is what I believe. Well, I'll tell you, if you have godly elders and leaders in a local assembly, and they are taking responsibility before God, God would have you to listen to them. Because this has happened. I've been a part of it. And people chose to go in different directions based upon their own feelings and feelings for other people that had gone astray. My God, that's a grievous thing in the sight of God. God has a way of avoiding that happening. Respect and honor those that have that kind of responsibility before the Lord to be His representatives. I don't know if the elders and the brethren and those that were a part of this fellowship had made any contact with these sisters and was seeking to bring about healing or not. I know one thing. To the Apostle Paul, it was a serious matter. Beloved, anything that is sin is important to God. And it needs to be corrected. You say, such a small thing. Oh, they have their differences. Oh, they do. Well, I tell you, if they've got their differences, it ain't something that pleases the Lord. He wants us to be of one mind. He wants us to have the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants perfect accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Just don't think about your own affairs and what's important in your life and all of this. But I want to get down to the one thing that he touched upon, because the time I'm running out. I'm doing a lot of talking. And I want to get to this. The Apostle Paul would remind us, the Lord Jesus, He humbled Himself. He had laid aside His glory. Can you imagine that? Someone in His position at the right hand of God. This is God that has come, the incarnation. God became a man. Think of what He laid aside to take upon Himself that fashion and form of a human being. I can tell you one thing. He may have laid aside the glory, but He didn't lay aside His deity. Don't you ever forget that. If you have a Scofield Bible, as I do, this is one of the strongest assertions in all of the Word of God, that the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, He never ceased to be God. And all these people, these Jehovah's Witnesses and these Mormons and all these others, Well, he was a good person. He might have been a prophet, but he won't God. He is God. Beloved, don't forget it. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God, manifest in flesh. Only God could make that payment for our sin. Not just another man, a righteous man, a prophet, or the greatest preacher that ever lived. It took God. God was on that cross. God was dying under the penalty of our sin. Yes, He was. He did. He humbled Himself. And we sometimes shy away from being humble. I don't like for people to think that I'm humble. Oh, you don't. You talk like it's something bad to be humble. Well, my Lord humbled Himself. He was God's only begotten Son. And Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who again, being in the form and fashion of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't something that he had to grasp after. He didn't have to usurp any kind of authority and say, I'm going to make myself God. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. But look what happens. And I've used this so many times in witnessing to people. I can think of some people that I believe it broke their stubborn hearts when they realized that God loved them, and by the grace of God, He wanted to reach out and save their souls. It says that God, because of His obedient Son, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Crosses were for criminals. Criminals died on crosses. Someone I listened to on the radio said, you know, in His incarnation, being born into a humble Jewish family, That was done by design. Had he been born into a Roman family, had he been born into aristocracy, they couldn't have crucified him. As the old saying goes, it just depends on who you are. But he was the one that died upon the cross for our sin. But God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, Savior of sinners, every knee should bow. And no one's going to escape. Of things in heaven, angelic beings fall on their faces before Him. Things in earth are there any reluctance on our part to fall on our faces before Him? Get on our knees before Him and say, oh Lord, I'm on my face before You. You paid it all so that I could go free. If I paid the penalty for my own sin, I would die and spend eternity separated from God in hell. You relieve me of that. Certainly no believer should ever have any problem getting on his knees before the Lord. Things under the earth. Oh, how many fools I've heard in my lifetime say, when I die, I don't care if I go to hell. It's where all my friends are. We're just going to have a grand old time. Man, we're just going to have party all the time. They'll be down on their knees. Jesus Christ is Lord. Poor rich man that died, I'm tormented in this flame, down on his knees. He couldn't find any time for the Lord Jesus during his lifetime. God was not important as such. But isn't it strange that God so wonderfully and powerfully has said, oh, but you will bow the knee to Him. I've exalted Him above all others. He's my only begotten Son. He is the Savior of sinners. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm so thankful I gather with people that have no problem bowing the knee, confessing with the tongue. He's my Lord, He's my Savior. And listen, when it comes to that point of being a witness for Him, you tell them about Him. He's worthy of all of our efforts to make Him known in this world today. Our Father in Heaven, we thank Thee tonight for these moments together and for what we have read and what we have said. Take any part of it that can be used for Your glory and honor, and honor Him who is worthy of every knee being bowed and every tongue confessing that He is Lord. He is God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.